This morning, we're going to be talking about the benefits of tithing. Now, listen, as we go through this, hopefully you will understand what we're talking about, what God's talking about, and hopefully I can articulate the Word of God properly so that you guys get a perfect understanding without walking out of here thinking that we just want your money. Because that's not the truth. I don't want your money. Connecting Point Church doesn't want your money. Here's what it is. We want your relationship right with God, and then money is never an issue. You understand what I'm saying? Because then you have a proper understanding of it and a proper thought process of it. So this morning, what we're going to start out with is a testimony. And I asked Cooley if he would come up and give a testimony. So brother, are you ready? Come on up here. Cooley's like, I don't want to do this. And I go, yes, you do. He was so gracious enough to say, yes, I will give God the honor, the glory, and the praise. Brother?
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen.
Thank you for pushing me because, you know,
hold on a minute. I'm moving this out of my way because somebody else didn't. I'm kidding. First off, rule number one when it comes to a stand, always have the boom going the same direction the bottom leg is going. That's rule number one. But at any rate, who am I? Okay. All right, brother. Now that you're comfortable, give Brother Cooley a hand.
Okay, I'm not very comfortable doing this, but it's an important subject, and I believe that tithing is very important. And and because Pastor asked me to do this, I'm going to try to do it my best. As you know, I haven't always been good, but I've been in church a long time. And when I wasn't tithing, things was very hard. In fact, I had 3 jobs and still couldn't make ends meet. But since I've been tithing, everything, even my church life, everything is better. I make a considerable lot less money now, but everything is wonderful. I mean, I have everything that I want, but I have more than I need. And even the understanding that is all I need. So God will provide. And my brother always would say that God is a blessing. God has blessed him so he can be a blessing to others. And I try to model myself after that. And I will pass it on to everyone that I can. All right, Pastor. Thank you very much.
I love you.
Thank you for making me.
Hey, brother. Bless you. Thank you for getting up here. I'm going to share a little bit of the testimony that he didn't. You don't mind that, do you, brother?
No.
All right. That's right. Here's the cool thing. What was it? 2 years ago? 3 years ago, you're back. 2 years ago. Cooley had back surgery because his back was messed up. He had to go and have surgery. And he was... It took longer for the healing. I mean, just it was really a mess, wasn't it? And you were out of work for how many months? 15 months out of work. Yeah, lost his job because they couldn't hold it that long, so on and so forth. And just so many things going on. And you go, well, what's the benefit of that? Well, here's the blessing, is that people were stepping up and going, hey, man, how can I help you? What can I do for you? And God was just providing in some miraculous ways, incredible ways, that even he couldn't understand. Remember that he called me and he said, Pastor, you want to buy my Jeep? And I went, I don't need a Jeep. But how much you want for it? And he goes, do you think I can get $1,000 out of it? I said, I'll take your Jeep. I'll buy your Jeep. It was cheap. Why not, right? And so some of you thought instantly, why would you take advantage of a hurt man? All right? How many thought that, being honest? Amen. I had one, two hands go up. Did you raise your hand? Thank you. And so I thought, $1,000, here's what Cooley didn't realize, is that Jeep was worth far more than $1,000. And so I told him, I go, I will take your Jeep. And I called up somebody else, and I said, hey, I got a Jeep for sale. And they said, my daughter's looking for a Jeep. And I go, fantastic. And they said, how much do you want for it? And if I'm not mistaken, I think I told them $3,500. There were three. What was it? Three. I told him $3,000. And he goes, for that? And I go, yeah. He goes, man, that's a steal. I go, I know. That's why you're going to buy it. And he bought it for $3,000. And he goes, who do I make the check out to? I said, you make it out to Cooley. Amen? Right? See, let me tell you something. That is how God blesses. And there was time and time and time again instances like that where Cooley was turning around and God just kept blessing. And I go, and he goes, you know, Pastor, God has taken care of every one of my needs. And I said, you know why? And he goes, yeah, this is a result of tithing. Like, God has shown him that it wasn't just giving money, but he was investing into the works of God. And when you invest into the works of God, as we're going to see today, God gives back. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to get rich. I am not teaching or preaching prosperity giving. I am not. Everybody say, Pastor, you are not teaching.
You're not.
No. All right, you ready? Say, Pastor, you are not teaching.
Pastor.
Prosperity giving.
Prosperity giving.
Amen. All right. But it works. I'm telling you guys. Listen, when people grab hold of the things of God, the teaching of God, the benefits of God, when you grab hold of that. But if you remember last week, we talked about what did you have to get? This is like really interactive today, but don't abuse your side of it, okay? That means when you answer the question, then you be quiet. So last week, we talked, some of you are going, well, I ain't talking at all now. Last week, we talked about what was the first thing the people of Macedonia did. They first, what? Gave of? How many was here last week? They first gave of themselves. Remember, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Number one, listen, you got to have your heart right with God. If your heart's not right with God, I don't, nothing else matters. Even with God, nothing else matters. Like that is what he wants first and foremost, is he wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you totally sold out to him. Money doesn't matter. Things don't matter. Position doesn't matter. Nothing else matters but you having your heart and you giving it to God. That's it. That's first and foremost. And so, you know, if you're not saved, then you go, what's saved? Born again. What's born again? Remember how Nicodemus was talking to Jesus in John chapter 3, and Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, being old, and by the way, he was a religious teacher. I find that amusing. And he says, born again? How must one be born again? Can I climb back up into my mother's womb and be born again? Now, how many think that's a silly statement? Amen, right? Some of you are going, I'm still trying to think about it. Jesus said, no, listen, you must be born of water and blood. That's one, and then you're born of the Spirit. Well, what's being born of the Spirit? Being born of the Spirit is you recognizing that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you need a Savior first and foremost. You, listen, you can't heal yourself of the common cold. How many are sick right now? Stay away from them, everybody. All right. How many have been, he's like, I love you, honey, but. How many have been sick in the last week or two? Just of a common cold. And you're going, man, you know what? I've been hacking and coughing and can't get rid of this thing. And, you know, the sniffling and there's nothing more annoying than listening to somebody. And watch, everybody's going to be under pressure now, and you're just going to let it run over your bottom, your top lip. But there's nothing more annoying than somebody going, go blow your nose. Where's the tissue? Oh, you took the whole box. She's like, I just wipe it, Pastor. I don't even know where I'm going now. Oh, you cannot cure yourself of the common cold. You can listen. You, what can you do really that when you're talking there about your body or other people, you have no control. Now that's the first thing that annoys us, isn't it? How many are control freaks? Yeah. Some of you are going, I'm not going to tell you because I'm in control. And that if I raise my hand, I don't have control. Right? Isn't that what we do? But listen, what happens is we want control of everything. And I think that's what gets in the way of us truly giving our heart to God. It's because we got to have control. We're going to be in control. And we got to control this. And we got to control that. And so that right there, by the way, is pride. And pride keeps us from God. And anytime pride gets in the way, we think of ourselves. We don't think of God. And I'm going to tell you guys, listen, before I tell you all about money and why you should tithe and the benefits of tithing and so on and so forth. And oh, and how much to tithe, which is kind of like an oxymoron question. But when you, meaning because a tithe means a tenth, and to ask how much should I tithe, it's like a tenth. A tithe is a tenth. Okay, I mean, you guys would get it. And so anyway, what happens is, listen, if your relationship is not right with God here with salvation, your relationship will never be right with God financially. And so you need to understand that. I'm going to teach you about money, and I'm going to teach you about salvation. But only you can make that decision. I have no control over that. That's between you and God. And so the first thing you got to do is you got to give of yourself first. It's salvation. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, somebody say no one.
No one
gets to the Father who is in heaven except through me. That's what Jesus says. So there's no way you can go to heaven without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, you can't be good enough. How many say I do good works, Pastor? Nobody's going to play along now, are you? Because you want full control, don't you? And so it's like, oh, Pastor, I'm a good person. I do good works. I'm sorry, but that's not going to get you into heaven. But I haven't killed anybody. Well, praise Jesus. You know, the litmus test, I haven't killed anybody. It's like, are you a good person? Yeah, I haven't killed anybody. Well, praise God, that's the litmus test for being a good person. But listen, being a good person will never get you there. It just won't. You can't go to heaven being good. And you say, well, then how am I going to get there? Through Jesus. Amen. See, here's why Jesus died on the cross. Because we needed a perfect sacrifice. We needed a perfect lamb to sacrifice because life is in the blood, and therefore blood has to be shed to cover our sins so that we can go to heaven and be with God. Well, in the Old Testament, they killed animal after animal after animal, and it was like writing a check is what it was. Okay, you know what? Here's all my sins, and I'm going to kill this animal. It's like writing a check to cover your sins. When Jesus came and died on the cross, He cashed all those checks. In other words, he covered all of that. Because remember, life is in the blood. We see it all the way back in the Genesis. And in Genesis, Adam and Eve sinned. Eve started it, but Adam was silly enough to follow. And so Adam got blamed for it. Thank you, ladies. And so there was sin in... None of you like that, did you? Let me tell you what happened on the news the other day. On the news, a lady put out a book on Barbie. Barbie, the, what was it? The technician or whatever. Who's that that's over computers? What do you call yourselves? Technological engineer. Okay, so at any rate. So she writes this thing, and she's on the computer, and it breaks down, and so she calls two of her friends, who happen to be guys. The guys come over, they fix the computer, and when they fix the computer, Barbie says, oh, now I can be this engineer. And so, like, the whole United States blew up over that. Somebody tell me what's wrong with that. Nothing. So the author intended it to show teamwork because men and women can work together and get things done. But the chauvinist side, or the female feminist liberal out of control, out of their mind side, said, women don't need men. We can do it on our own. And the only thing they did was show that Barbie couldn't do anything. She's a cartoon. She can't do anything, but nonetheless. So it brought all that up. I'm just having fun when I say women started it. Please understand, it's in the Bible. All right. Any rate, let me get back to you guys are going, Pastor, just get on the message. So here's what happens, guys. Without Jesus, there's no way to heaven. So before you go on, before you think about money, before you think about anything else, you have to stop and think about this question. If I were to die right now, do I know that I would go to heaven? Now, if your answer is yes, is it because you know Jesus as your Savior? If that's the answer, then yes, you're going to heaven. If that is not the answer, no, you're not going to heaven. And by the way, it's not Pastor John, it's the Word of God. And so if you say, well, I think I am, well, then if you think you are, you're probably basing it off of good works, which means you're not going to heaven. And listen, Jesus says that there's no way that you could taste the goodness of God and not know it. In other words, there's no way you could be saved and not know it. Is what it comes down to. So the first thing you need to do is realize if you're saved or lost. If you've not received Christ as your Savior, you're not going to heaven, and therefore, when I talk about money, it's going to be like a rash. Anybody ever jog or ride bicycle, or anybody ever go swimming, and you go swimming on a rubber tube, and you do this the whole day, and when you get done, all underneath here is red and raw? Anybody? Nobody's playing today. And that's what the Word of God becomes like. First, you got to give yourself to God. So listen, if you've not done that, don't get excited when I talk about money, okay? I'm talking about tithing because it applies to the Christian. So you take the information, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you just store the information, you process it. When you go home, you think about it. But for those that are saved that know Christ, this is directly to you, okay? And I'm not trying to leave anybody out. That's why I talked about Jesus first. I want you to understand. I want you to know what's going on. So the benefits of tithing. The first question that we have to ask is, why should I tithe? Why should I tithe? Why should I give 10% of my hard-earned money to the church? That's a reasonable question, isn't it? Somebody say amen. Why should I give 10% of my hard-earned money to the church? Why should I tithe? Christians should give to honor God through obedience. Christians should give to honor God through obedience. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then it goes on into 10. It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with So why should I tithe? Well, the first reason is 3:9. I want you to see this, okay? I want you to see it says, by the way, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Does anybody know? Go ahead, just spit it out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Okay. How many believe that? All right. Because that applies to us, amen? Does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 apply to us? Yes or no? Yes. All right. Here's the situation, though. Proverbs is in the Old Testament. Does it still apply to us? Yes. He's talking to us, people, the Christian. Then he goes on into 3:9, right after that. Right after he says, trust in the Lord. Then he goes down in 3, 5, and 6, and then he jumps down into 9. And in 9, all of a sudden, he talks about money. And look what he says in 3:9, Proverbs 3:9. If you'll put that up there, yeah, there it is. honor the Lord with your possessions. And, do you see the word and in there? And with the what? First fruits. What are the first fruits? It's the tithe. Is it? Amen? So he says, honor the Lord with your possessions. In other words, everything you have you should use for the glory of God. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Your paychecks. Your gifts. Your money that comes in. You know, when we have this rule in the house, that if somebody gives us a gift card, it's technically it's not money, and so we don't tithe on the gift card. But if somebody gives us money, paycheck, whatever it is, we tithe on that. Why? Because that is increase. That is, listen, that is money that has come in, that is an increase, and so therefore, in our house, we tithe on it. We taught our daughters, you tithe on that. Why? Well, because you know what? We're going to honor the Lord with our tithe. You see what that's saying? And so we say, well, that's Old Testament. That doesn't apply to us. But wait a minute. How can you say that doesn't apply to you, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 does apply to you? Is it because 3, 5, and 6 makes you feel good? And this one doesn't? Just a question. So what we see here is honor the Lord with your possessions. That means with what you have. And honor him with the first fruits of all your increase. What is that? That is the tithe. Listen, guys. We're called to tithe. Now hold on. But then he says, listen, if you tithe, go to 3:10 now. If you tithe, what's going to happen? Your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Listen, here's what he's saying. You will not want and you will not lack anything. But you have to trust God. You have to give to the Lord. Why? So that he can bless you. Next week's, listen, you do not want to miss next week's testimony. You just don't want to miss it. I am so excited for it. I'm about to bust because I want to hear it again. It's that good. So, I'm not going to say who it is. And so if you're sitting here and you wrecked your car and you know you're the one giving the testimony, don't tell anybody. We don't want anybody to know who it is yet. All right. It's that anticipation. You know, you got a drama. You got to build it up. All right. Look, in Job 41:11, he says, who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. God says, listen, I want you to know that everything that you have because I allowed you to have it. It is a gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? Above. Who is above? God. And so he's saying, listen, I want you to see right here that everything under heaven is mine. That's what God is saying. I own it all. And I am so gracious enough to give to you. But I want you to honor me because I give to you. See, God's not arrogant, although he has every right to be, amen. God is holy and he's righteous, and he says, I want you to honor me because I am holy and I am righteous. Next thing is giving affords us the opportunity to make eternal investments. The word there is opportunity. Why? Because it's not a duty, it is an opportunity. Every opportunity can bring an increase, amen? And so God says, when you give to me, you have created an opportunity for me to give to you. Now, it may be keeping you healthy so you can stay working. It may get you a new car. It may get you a new job. It may get you, listen, it may get you a raise. You may walk out and find $2,000 in the parking lot. So now everybody's going to be walking around like this. Right? But listen, I don't know how God is going to bless you or how he's going to give to you, but here's what I do know, that every time we give to him, we open up the window of opportunity for him to give back to us. If you are stingy and you withhold it, what you've done is you've closed the window and said, what's mine is mine and I'm not interested in anything coming in. That's what you've done. You've said, God, hey, I appreciate what you've given me, but I don't want any more. Thank you. What you're doing is you're shut, and I'm not talking about any more money, I'm just saying you shut the window of blessing off that God wants to give to you. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, hold on. I got verses for you. In Philippians 4:17, Paul is talking to the church and the Philippian church, and this is what he says. He says, because he's talking about how they were there and how they gave money and they tithed, they gave, they supported the ministry that Paul was in. And that's what you guys do when you come here and you give to Connecting Point. You're supporting this ministry so that we can share the gospel. Well, that's exactly what was happening here in Philippians and 4, where Paul says, listen, I know that you've given and I really appreciate you've given and you've taken care of needs. You've taken care of my need. Listen, you have been there when nobody else was there. You were so giving, so generous, so gracious. But then look what he says in 4:17. It's not that I seek the gift. It's not that I seek the money that you have. It's not that I seek that gift of finances that you want to give me. But I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Do you see what's going on here, guys? Paul is saying, I want you to understand that when you give, you get. But when you quit giving, you quit getting. And everything becomes harder. Amen. Three jobs, still struggling to make it work. Three. And by the way, Cooley's single. It's not like he's got a wife and 18 kids, or at least he hasn't told me. And so, you know, he's saying, here I am, a single guy working three jobs, and I can hardly make ends meet. I start tithing, and I can drop down to one job, one and a half jobs, and all of a sudden, it works. Because he's saying, God, I'm trusting you rather than killing myself over here working three jobs. I'm going to trust you to give the increase for my one job or my one and a half jobs. That's literally what happens. And Paul here says, it's not that I'm seeking the gift. And I'm telling you, it's not that I'm seeking your money. I don't want your money. I want you to grow in the grace of God, grow in the understanding of God, so that when you give, you understand that the fruit that you give, what you give is fruit and it abounds to your account. Listen, when it abounds, that means it increases to your account. That means it's for your favor. Amen? And so Paul is making it very clear that when you give, you get. You don't give to get, but when you give, you get. The problem is we trust our dollar more than we trust our God. Or, wait a minute, maybe our dollar is our God. That would be idolatry, just so you guys understand. In Matthew 6:19 through 21, boy, what opportunities. Look here, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in to steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My wife and I have been through a couple of tornadoes out west. It didn't blow our house up, but the effects of everything getting blown up around us. We've been through two hurricanes, which did destroy a lot of our stuff. And what I've learned since I've been saved, which has been 20 years now, is that every bit of that stuff is replaceable, and 9 times out of 10, a lot of what gets destroyed, you find out you didn't even need it anyway. Amen? And do you know one of the biggest businesses in America, one of the largest, most profitable businesses in America is storage. These storage facilities, like next door here, hey, $100 a month, you get this little cube that you can stick all of your junk in that's absolutely worthless. And because if it was any of value, you would keep it at your house. So you can put it out here 10 miles away from your house where somebody can break in and steal, or maybe they get a leak in their roof and everything gets rotted and gets worthless and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden you go, wow, here is all this stuff I've been putting things into and it's worthless. Listen, how about buying a new car? Woo! How many have ever bought a new car and you're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then 3 years later, the holes start popping through from the rust and you're like, man, I still owe 3 years on this thing. But what lasts? Only what's done for Christ will last. What really matters, guys? Does it matter that you get involved in somebody's life by giving them $10 and saying here, or that you really get involved in somebody's life and say, you know what, I love you, and I'm here, and we're going to work together, and we're going to work through this thing, and I'm going to tell you what, through the love of Jesus, man, I'm going to extend that out to you. Who wants more the most, the $10 or the love of Jesus? The truth is, we want the love of Jesus. When your life is in turmoil and it's fallen apart, who do you turn to? You turn to the Christian who is steady and steadfast and immovable, knowing that the works of the Lord is not in vain. And they hang in there, as we say in the South, like a hair in a biscuit. Some of you are thinking about that right now. Anybody ever seen a hair in a biscuit? It don't come out. I'm just telling you. You're like, right? Okay. So anyway, it's hanging in there tight and tough, man. It is not surrendering. It's not giving up. Why? Because you know that your investment in anything that has to do with God is an eternal investment. In Corinthians, it talks about that our works will be burned up. They'll be tried by fire. And anything that survives that fire, that goes to your account. So are you investing in things on earth for you, or are you investing in things of eternity? That also determines the reward that God gives you. Then we go on to the next question. Next question is, how much should I tithe? What's the tithe? 10%. It's kind of a silly question, isn't it? But nonetheless, we ask it so that you have understanding of it. How much should I tithe? Well, first we got to understand what the tithe is and where it came from. If we don't understand where the tithe came from, we have a tendency to go, it doesn't apply to us. It's Old Testament. But I want you to know that it is applicable to everyone who is born again. Now, if you're not born again, you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're not giving your life over to Christ, so on and so forth, you don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God who died on the cross, who conquered death and hell, who rose on the third day, who sits at the right hand of the Father. If you don't believe that, don't sweat this, okay? Just take it in as knowledge and understanding. Because you're going to go, if you're not born again, you're not going to really, you go, I ain't giving my money to you. How much should I tithe? Well, if we understand where it starts, where it came from, we understand that who were the sons of Adam and Eve? Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, what? They gave of their first fruits, didn't they? Wait a minute, that was way before the law. Somebody's tricking me here. Okay, so that's way before the law. Cain and Abel gives of their first fruits. And then Abraham, by the way, Abraham is way before the law. Got to grab this. When did the law come into effect? When who was out in the wilderness? Moses. Abraham was what? Before Moses, amen? Look here in Genesis 14, 18 through 20. It says, then Melchizedek, we have it, there you go. Then Melchizedek, now Melchizedek is a picture of Christ, okay? So you have to understand Melchizedek is a picture of Christ. And you read about him here in Genesis 14, and then if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, excuse me, you'll read about Melchizedek again and Abraham and how they're kind of reliving this moment in Hebrews, which next week we're going to learn is Hebrews 7, 1 through 7. We're going to unfold that passage for you so you know where we're going to be next week if you'd like to read it before you get there or before next week. And so what happens here, it says, then Melchizedek, who is Jesus Christ, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. Verse 19. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram. Abram, this is before God changed his name to Abraham. So it's the same. Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And then he goes on and he says in verse 20, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And so what we have is we have Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, telling Abram, hey, blessed am I, because why? Because I blessed you, I am the God of the Most High, I am possessor of heaven and earth, and I blessed you by delivering your enemies into your hand. So Jesus is saying, I'm blessed because of who I am, and because of who I am, I've extended some blessing to you. That's what's going on here. And so he says, In verse 20, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And then it says what? And he, who is he? Abram. And he, or Abram, gave him, who's him? Jesus, or King Melchizedek, a tithe of how much? All. See, guys, what we understand is because Abram understood who God was. And when Abraham understood who God was, he withheld nothing. He gave him a tithe of everything he had. Now, some say that we only tithe on our garden or our vegetables or what we have of trees. How many here are gardeners? How many have a garden? Uh-oh. We got a few that are in trouble, don't we? How are you going to give your tithe? Because today, our tithe is of our increase, is of our first fruits, is not of our vegetables and our trees. Because we don't have that. So how do we give of our first fruits? We give to God through our tithe. And Abram said, I'm going to give you a tithe of everything I have. So not only am I going to give you a tithe of my animals, not only am I going to give you a tithe of my gardens, but I'm going to give you a tithe of my bank account. Wouldn't that be all? Because all means all, and that's all means. Amen? And so when he says, I give you all, a tithe of all, he says, I'm giving you a tithe of everything that I have. Guys, I want you to see that the tithe was before the law. The tithe has been instituted from the beginning. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. We see the tithe was instituted back then, and it goes all the way through. And Abraham, he kept it going all the way through. It didn't stop because it's under the law. They put it in the law, but it wasn't limited to the law. And so the tithe is what we need to give. Now, I want you to understand, I'm going to close with this. We need to understand that when we give the tithe, and now we understand the tithe is 10% of everything we have, we cannot escape that. We see Abraham didn't escape it. We see Cain and Abel didn't escape it. Nobody escaped it. Jacob didn't escape it. He's like, hey, you know what? You blessed me. Remember, he built an altar and gave him a tithe of everything that he had. And he said, from here on out, I'll give you a tithe of everything I have. I'm telling you, they understood. And we're talking, I mean, who's greater than Abraham in the Old Testament? There's only one greater than Abraham in the Old Testament, and that is Melchizedek. And if you go back and finish reading in Genesis, where we just were, he says, who is greater than Abraham that he gave King Melchizedek a tithe? Because it's Jesus. It's God. It's our Savior. It's our Father in heaven. Well, through that, listen, the promise, God will bless the 90% more than the 100%. Now, I could go to Malachi, right? That's a great go-to verse for a pastor. Amen? Yes. God says, you've robbed me. And they go, how did we rob you? And he says, through tithes and offerings. So he makes a very clear distinction of tithes and offerings. Last week we talked about giving and offerings over and above the tithe. You can't say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna give you, my tithe is $100, but wow, I really want to give $20 to this special thing that's going on. So I'll just take $20 and give to that and $80 and give to my tithe. Well, guess what you just did? You robbed God of the tithe. You see how that works? You can't take from the tithe. If you're going to give, it's got to be above what you owe. And we owe the tithe. But I want you to see in Proverbs 11:24. Because I'm not going to go to Malachi and abuse Malachi today. I might go there next week and abuse it, but not today. Proverbs 11:24. Look what this says. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Now, this is an interesting passage because where are we at? We're in Proverbs. We already said Proverbs belongs to us. Amen. In other words, it applies to us. Yes. All right. So if Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 apply to us, then Proverbs 11:24 has to apply to us. Amen. Now let's break down 11:24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There's one who gives and gives and gives and gives. Man, he puts it out there and he gives. And the more he gives, the more comes back. Is that not what that says? Absolutely, that's what that says. And then he says, and there is one who withholds more than is right. Now, that's an interesting thing. And when I read that, I went, more than what is right. Well, how do we know what's right? What's he talking about here? He's talking about the tithe. See, because there is a specific amount that is understood in this passage. There is, listen, more, he with, and there is one who withholds more than is right. There has to be a clear understanding to understand that you're withholding more than is right. Amen? So what is the understanding? Well, we know that tithing was all the way through from Genesis all the way into Revelation. We understand tithing and giving. You go into Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church. They thought they were rich. And he says, you are poor. Why? Because, man, you're hoarding your money. You think it's all about your riches. And it's not. So we see literally tithing goes from Genesis to Revelation. It is not bound by the law. And we see here in Proverbs that he says, there's one who scatters yet increases more. Listen, the more you get and the more you give, the more you're going to get, the more that you can give. And it all of a sudden becomes this cycle. And literally what God wants us to be is a funnel. God says, listen, if I can trust you to hand it out, I will continue to give to you. When I can't trust you to hand it out, well, then I got to give it to somebody else that will. Do you understand how God's thinking? So he says, there's one who scatters yet increases more. Does that not defy all laws of logic? How is it that we get more if we give it away? Because God says, I am going to bless you. I am going to make up the difference. Listen, you make 100%. By the way, everything under the sun is whose? God's. So we are nothing but managers or good stewards of what God has, whether it's time, money, or talent, whatever it is. By the way, I just want to thank my daughter publicly for getting up here, because I'm going to tell you, that is not her comfort zone. Give her a hand for getting way out of her comfort zone. I love you, sweetie. Thank you for doing that for me. But here's what happens. We get 100%, and God says, I'm going to trust you to be a good steward of what I've given you. I've given you time, I've given you talent, and I have given you treasure. And I'm going to trust you to be a good steward of that. And so you know what? If you scatter, I'm going to increase more. The more you give, the more I'll give you. But if you become stingy, I shut it off. I'm not going to give to you because you're not going to help anybody. You're not going to give it away. You're not going to do what's been called. And there is one who withholds more than is right. What is right? Well, here's what we know all through Scripture. And sometimes, if we don't have an exact verse, we got to look and see where it applies throughout the Scriptures. And here's what we know is right. The tithe. You see what I'm saying? And so he says that there's one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. What's he saying? It leads to you robbing yourself of the blessing. Then if we go to Malachi, and he says, listen, you've robbed me. How have we robbed you, God? Through tithes and offerings. He says, if you give me the tithe, you give me what's mine, and then you see if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you so much blessing that you cannot receive it all. Is he talking money? No. He's talking blessings. What do blessings look like? Your car runs farther. Your gas goes farther on a gallon. Your tires go farther. Your house. Listen, I was talking to somebody the other day, and they go, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. I got my electric bill in the mail, and it was a fraction of what it was supposed to be. What is that? Man, that is you give the tithe and God pours out the blessings. I am not going to tell you that you are going to get rich tithing, because the reality of it is you're probably not. So then why tithe? You honor God and you open up windows that afford God the opportunity to bless you. You don't know how many people I've talked to who says, Pastor, if I didn't tithe, there's no way I can make it. It just doesn't make sense, though, does it? Because what you're doing is you're saying, God, thank you for the 100%. Here's what I owe you, the tithe, the 10%. I'm going to live on the 90%, and I'm going to trust you for the 10 that I gave you, that you take care of it well. And you know what God says? I am a debtor to nobody. Why? Because he owns it all. And so if you give to God, do you think God's going to go, oh, thank you, and put it in his pocket? That's just kind of saying, because God's spirit, he doesn't have a pocket. And so you think that God's going to go, hey, thank you, and I'm just going to keep it. No, what does God do? God gives it out. And that's what he says there. The one who scatters yet increases more. He understands. The question is, do we? Do we get it? Now, next week, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 7, 1 through 7. I want you to read it. I want you to study it out. I want you to go to your concordances. I want you to see what he's talking about in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. But I want you to get this today, that God loves you. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. He wants you to go to heaven, but you have to receive Christ as your Savior before you'll go to heaven. There's no other way. You can't manipulate the system. James says that you'll stand before God as you are naked. Scary thought for some, I get it, but you understand. And so he says, in other words, you're not going to hide anything from me. You can't get in any other way, because if you try to get in any other way, you are a robber, a thief who breaks in. He goes, that's not going to happen in my house. You got to come through the door. Who's the door? Jesus. So the first thing you got to get right is your relationship with God on salvation. Once you do that, then you'll understand finances. And if your heart is hard toward God, you're not going to appreciate finances, and you're not going to give. And if you don't trust God, but you trust your money, you're not going to give. If you don't want blessings and you hold it, you're not going to give. You understand what God's saying? I will bless you if you give to me. If you don't give to me, you have shut down that fountain of blessing. You literally control the blessings of God in your life. You control it. It's up to you. I'm not making you give, and I'm not telling you you have to give. I'm just telling you that when your relationship is right with God, you want to give. Because you want to see people get saved. You want to see people's lives changed. You want to see the gospel go out. You want to see the church door stay open. See, guys, when you first give yourself to God, you understand the process and that it's not about you. It has nothing to do with you, except for we are either going to be a good steward of God's finances or we're going to be thieves and robbers. There's like no other way. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for, Lord, just the opportunity to bring clarity to scriptures on a topic that is just so difficult. Lord, when we talk about money, sometimes it just stirs the soul and not in a positive way. And so, Lord, I'm just praying right now that you would open eyes. Lord, that you would open hearts. That you would help people to understand that it's not about the money, it's about the relationship. And Lord, if our relationship is not right with you, then our understanding of finances and money is not going to be right either. And so, Lord, I pray your hand upon this place today, that the Holy Spirit would have free reign. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I have to ask you this question, and only you can answer it. Nobody else can answer this question for you. The question is, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? Are you 100% positive that when you die, you're going to heaven? If the answer is yes, praise God. If the answer is I don't know or no, then I want you to listen to me. I know we talked about money, but it's not about money. It is about your relationship with God, the creator of the universe. And so if you're here today, And you say, Pastor, I don't know that I would go to heaven if I die. I mean, you know, I went through Catholic school and I was confirmed, or I went through this religion and I did that, or I made all these steps. Well, listen, if that's what you did, then you fell short. You're not going to heaven. Not because I said you're not, but because the Word of God says you're not. If you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and you believe that He died on the cross for your sins and mine, you may not understand it all, but you believe. The Bible says if you believe with your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you believe that Jesus died on the cross, He rose from the grave, He's at the right hand of the Father, then all you got to do is receive Him as your Savior. These words don't save you, but this is like a roadmap to guide you through the process, so you have a time, a tangible time that if you will, that you can grab hold of, that you can bring back to memory, where you know that you made a conscious decision to give your life to Christ. That's what this prayer is. Your belief is what saves you. The prayer is what gives you something to hold on to. And so, if you believe that Jesus died for you and you want to give your life to Christ, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, now quietly in your heart, you pray this. This is between you and God. Dear Lord Jesus, today, right now, this very moment, I surrender. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my life. Lord, I know that I have sinned. I know that I have done things that have not brought you honor and glory. I know that I have done things that were not right in your sight. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all of that. Today, I am yours. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I can assure you, unless you give your life to Christ, you'll never go to heaven.